Thank you, Avery. If you have your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to thank all of those who came to homecoming and did whatever you did last week in preparation for that, maybe helped set up or brought food or invited people. It's probably one of our largest attendances for our Sunday school hour last week that we've had in a long time. And I know you guys are probably glad to be back in the early service this morning, but I appreciate you. Many of you came last week to that, and maybe in the coming month or so, we'll show that video again. Several people have asked about that and of the history of the church, but thanks for the part that you played last week. Some of you know, maybe many of you, but we've got new grandparents in our church this morning, Wendy and Gene Huffman. Their son Michael and Anna had a baby this past week. Owen Sloan Huffman was born. I'm not sure how much Anna weighs, but the baby almost weighed as much as she did. Almost 10-pound baby, so it was about 24 hours of labor. God bless you. God bless her. You are writing the Bible, a chapter a day. By the things that you do, by the words that you say, people read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the Bible according to you? Another statement that I heard was, people who don't read the Bible read the people who do. People are watching our lives. I've used this before, but Jerry Kroll was with us for homecoming a number of years ago, and he said his favorite Bible was a red Bible. He said he just loved red Bibles. The difference was he was holding up a black Bible, and he wasn't talking about R-E-D, but R-E-A-D, that his favorite Bible was one that people read. And so I want to talk about this morning, why read the Bible? If you've come to church for any number of years or months even, you've probably heard me, or if you were at another church, a pastor or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or a good Christian friend say, you know, you need to read the Bible. But many people believe that and have Bibles, but don't necessarily read them. Probably many of you here today remember receiving a Bible free. When I was in elementary school, the Gideons, every year, would come to the school and they would hand out pocket New Testaments. Some of you still may have those somewhere in your possession. They don't do that in schools today, I don't believe. But the number one best-selling book, not only this year, but for every year, has been the Bible. So we've grown up with the Bible. We bring the Bible. We have copies of the Bible. We even know stories from the Bible, but do we read the Bible? You say, well, isn't that why we come to church? So you can read it to us and tell us? Well, I hope that does happen, but you need to read it on your own. And sometimes it's like, I do read the Bible, but when I've read it, I really don't understand what I'm reading, and I just get frustrated with it, and so I stop. You know, I started reading this year through the Bible, and I made it through about the third week of January and got into Leviticus and just stopped. It was just so hard to understand, and I don't even know, a lot of millennials will say this, I don't think the Bible is really relevant for today. It really doesn't deal with the issues that I'm facing, so, you know, why should I read this archaic book when it really doesn't scratch where I'm itching, so to say? You know, the Bible was written by about 40 different authors over about a 1,400-year period of time. It's believed that the oldest book in the Bible is probably the book of Genesis or the book of Job, written about 1,400 years before Christ was born, 15 B.C. Moses wrote that book. The last book in the Bible that was written by the Apostle John, You remember he was on the Isle of Patmos and God gave him the book of Revelation, and that was in 90 AD. So from 1400 years before Christ to 90 years after Christ, 1500 years, during that 1500 year period of time, God spoke at different intervals to give his word to us. So 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks of this. In verse 21 it says, "For prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." No prophecy or no scripture ever owed its origin to human effort. Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah or a number of the prophets that wrote the scripture never said, "You know, it's raining outside. I think I'm going to write a letter to Rome today, or I think I'm going to write a book that they'll name after me because I don't have anything else to do." It didn't come that way. No prophecy, no scripture was ever written that had its origin in man just decided to do it. It always came from God to the prophet, through the Holy Spirit, on God's timetable. The illustration that you often will hear when 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 is used is that of a sailboat. And so a sailboat's out here on the lake and there's no wind and it just is sitting there. But if it's a windy day, that wind will catch the sail and that boat will move, and then they'll direct it by the rudder, but the wind is really the power that causes the sail to move, or the sailboat to move. That's the idea that Peter gives when he writes this. We were like these 40 prophets over these 1,500 years. They were like sailboats on the lake. They were just living their lives. But at different periods of time, the Holy Spirit came down and filled their sail or inspired them or gave them God's message, and they wrote it down. Now, God allowed them to use their own experiences and their own personalities and stylistic issues to write the scripture, but in the original writings, they were written without error. 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. There's no contradictions. And of course, there would be no contradictions if it only has one author, God, and he knows the whole story and gives it to him at different times. And so there are so many things that you could talk about when you talk about the Bible and the importance of the Bible and how to study the Bible, and we'll be dealing with some of those in the months to come. But I want us to understand that one of the reasons why we should read the Bible is it's God's letter to us. It's not, even though humans wrote it, God used them supernaturally to give us what we have today, and this is from God. But yet, many of us are not in the Bible on a daily basis or on a regular basis. We are living in a cell phone generation, aren't we? It's hard for some of you to get a text or Snapchat or whatever comes on the phones and not immediately look at them. I don't know. If you text me, I might see it. I mean, I just, my phone doesn't ding. I don't know what icon says I've got a message. If I just happen to look at it, or if I'm plugging it up, or, you know, I say, "Oh, I've got a text message. Oh, that was 5 hours ago." Some of you, 5 hours ago, I can't wait 5 seconds. I just got to have it. I've had parents tell me, "I can get my child quicker to the dinner table if they're in their bedroom if I text them versus calling them. Hey, come and eat." It's going to be better to text them. Come and eat. They're going to come more quickly if I text them because they're just so tuned into it. I lived back in the BC days before cell phones, and my wife and I communicated by letter. We actually wrote letters to each other. She was in Columbia, South Carolina in college. I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina in college. And I've got a box full of letters that we wrote to each other. love letters from my wife. I can't imagine going to the mailbox one day, as I would regularly do, especially if I thought she might have mailed me a letter, and getting a letter saying, "Oh, that's from Kelly. I'll get around to that sometime." I would begin opening it as soon as I got it. Many times I would sit in the car and read it, or go immediately to my dorm room and read it before I did anything else. I wanted to see what she had to say. The Bible was maybe not that important to us for whatever reason. We are taken with celebrities today. People want to take selfies with celebrities, or they want to get autographs. I watched just a few minutes because it was right at the end of the tennis match last night, and I'm not a big tennis fan, but I enjoy seeing the momentum that can shift in tennis. And I was watching whatever two girls were playing last night, and one won the match, and as they were walking off, you know, everybody's holding the tennis balls up and they're autographing it. And I'm sure for many of those people, they're going to take that, if they don't sell them, and take them and put them in a prominent place at their home, and they'll say, "I remember when so-and-so walked by. I was at the U.S. Open in New York, and they signed it, and they said to me, 'How are you today?'" I'll never forget. They said, "How are you today?" They said that to me. "How are you today?" And it was this celebrity, and they said it to me. They looked right at me. You got your stories, don't you? Maybe famous people that you run into one time, and they said something to you. I remember going to play golf in Winston-Salem, and there was a limousine in the parking lot with it was running because they didn't want to have to air condition it later on, I guess. And so I thought, well, I wonder who that is, and walked in the clubhouse, and Jerry Lewis was there. I used to watch Jerry, I guess Labor Day weekend, was this his big weekend when he was living, when he did the telethon and so forth? But, you know, you've got stories of people you've met, and you think, "Oh, I remember what they said to me. I remember what," it is just vividly burned in our memories. And yet, we've got a message from God, the creator of the universe, the maker of the world, the sustainer of the world, the savior of the world. And he's written a letter to us. And many times we won't even open it up and read it. All scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. These two verses, 1 Peter 1:21 and 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, are some of the most used passages when we're talking about how we got the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. Let me just stop right there. Everything in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from the first page to the last, from cover to cover, and I heard one preacher say, even the maps, which is not true, but everything is inspired. God breathed it out. When God made Adam, it says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God just breathed life into him. And God breathed, God gave his word to man. And all scripture, even Leviticus, even the things that you don't understand, are from God, and they're useful. They're beneficial. I think one reason that we should read the Bible is because it is from God. But I think a second reason that we should read the Bible, underneath the first reason, is it'll help you. It'll benefit you. Now, if you don't think something is helpful to you or beneficial to you, you may not give a lot of time and effort to it. But if you really think something is really going to help you, it's really going to be beneficial to you. I mean, you've checked online before you bought things to make sure that these were the best running piece of equipment you could buy, because you did your research on it. Because you were going to use that tool, and it was very important to have it. The Bible will benefit you. It'll help you in your life. I think another problem is, especially for men, and maybe for women, but especially for men, the problem with reading the Bible is we don't read anything. I mean, we might read the paper a little bit, but, well, we don't read a lot. Last week at homecoming, Elwood McQuaid was here. Some of you knew Elwood. Many of you would not know Elwood. But Elwood used to pastor this church in 1956 and 1957. And then he jokingly says he went to seminary here at Goodview, meaning he cut his teeth in ministry here. I can remember him telling me years ago that when he came to the church and they offered him the position, the deacons said to him, then, before you accept the job, we want to show you where you'll have to live. Now, the parsonage that is here was not here then. I think it was probably built in the early 60s, but down on the highway, if you're coming from the grocery store, the first house on your right was the parsonage in that day. And the roads were all gravel back then. Some of you may have lived here in the 50s, and you remember what it was way before the lake came in. And even though the house looks nice now, evidently it must not have looked too good then. And that's where he lived. But he left Goodview in 57. Another guy came in 56. Another pastor came in 57, only stayed 1 year. And then Elwood came back in 58 for one more year. So he pastored here two different times over a three-year period of time. Went to Timberlake and pastored. And then he became the executive director for Friends of Israel Gospel Ministries. Some of you may get or used to get Israel My Glory, the magazine. He was the executive director for Israel My Glory. And he was a prolific writer. And one of the first books I ever read was a book that he wrote called ZVI, pronounced Z. I was in college when I read that book, first book I'd ever read through in my life. Guys don't like to read a whole lot. I was thinking the other day as I was preparing the message, I think I read one other book in high school. So that might have been the second book. I read a book, it was entitled George Herman Ruth. And the reason I read that book is because I was a baseball player and I enjoyed baseball then. And I had to do a report, and the teacher said, you can do a report on anybody you want to. And George Herman Ruth, probably better known by most of you, is Babe Ruth. And I think he grew up in Baltimore, and I just remember reading that book. That was the first book I think I ever read all the way through. So when I got to college and got the syllabus of all the books we had to read, man, I read it by letter. I would just open the window and turn the fan on and let her go, you know, let the pages rip through. And so I understand for some of you guys talking about reading the Bible, is like, man, I know I need to do it, but it's like pulling teeth because I hate to read. I often mention blueletterbible.org. And if you go onto that website, you can learn to navigate that site. It's not real hard. And you can push audio Bible, one of the tabs, push audio Bible, and it'll read it for you. And you just follow along and it'll read it for you. I don't have it on the internet. Okay, get a tape. I don't know what to tell you here. I'm trying to help you, okay? But read the Bible. It'll help you. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. How will it help you? It'll help you in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What will it teach you? Well, there's many things the Bible will teach you that'll be a benefit to you. One of the things is the meaning of life. Bible help you with that. Why are we here? Is there really a purpose? I hear this all the time. Well, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a purpose. I don't know why, but the Bible will help you with that. Do you know why you're here? Yeah, my wife made me come. No, I'm not talking about church this morning. I'm talking about on planet Earth. The Bible says you were created by God and for God. The very purpose for your existence is to bring glory to God. It'll help you with life. It'll help you with some of the problems. You know, my kids, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. It'll help you. It'll help you in raising your kids. You know, my spouse and I, we just don't get along. We seem to fight all the time, and it didn't used to be that way. The Bible will help you with your marriage. There's principles, if you'll follow, that'll help you. It'll teach you about how to be a godly man or a godly woman or how to parent your children. It'll help you in those ways. It'll help you with the meaning of life. It'll teach you about wealth and riches and success. That is much different than the definition that the world gives. What's true riches? What is true riches? How should we invest our lives? It'll talk to us about that. You know, I just worry all the time, and I'm worried myself to death. It'll teach you how to deal with worry, so you won't have to worry anymore. You can have peace in your life. You can enjoy your life. The Bible will teach you. Well, answer these questions for me. Well, you can answer some of them for yourself if you'll read the Bible. And I understand it's difficult, and it'll take some time. You've been working at your job for 25 years, and there's very little things that's going to happen this week at your job that hasn't happened before. And if the exact thing hasn't happened, something similar will. And you know how to deal with it because you've been dealing with that for years. I mean, you know, I'll check this, or this will happen, or this is how I deal with this person. You just, because you've got experience, you know how to deal with most things in your job. And you've been talking this week about the new guy they hired Nick last week. You know, that new guy, he don't know anything. He's been to college. And little things that you just know exactly how to deal with, he struggles with, or she struggles with. You know why? Because you've got experience. I used to work for Pony Express. Now, not the one with horses. The latter one. When I was in college, and I worked there for 4 or 5 years while I was in college, and just part-time in the afternoon some. And it was always my opportunity, as many of you would have on your jobs, to train new people on the routes. Sam, I don't know if you do that or not at UPS, but we probably help UPS understand how to do a good marketing model. But, you know, a new guy would come on, and he would be new, and so he would ride with me, and I would say, this is how you do it, and this is how you fill the paperwork, on-job training. A guy asked his professor one day, how can I know the Bible like you? He said, that's easy. Just do what I do. Study it every night and day for 40 years. And so sometimes we want to have a grasp on the Bible and like, man, I'm so encouraged. The pastor told me to read the Bible, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to start today. And you read it and you have no idea what you... I have no idea what I just forget it. Not for me. Well, some people may do that on their job. They work a couple of days and they quit. Too difficult, too hard, too much information. But those who stick with it and put the time and the effort in and sometimes learn from their mistakes can become a good worker. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, on Wednesday nights, if you're not involved with youth ministry, and that starts this Wednesday, our C4 ministry starts 6:45 registration. Kids may get here around 6:30, just the kickoff for that. And we're encouraged to see many kids involved in our youth programs, both teenagers and youth. But if you're not involved in that ministry, come on Wednesday night. Now, not this Wednesday, because we're not going to have Bible study this Wednesday with the kickoff, but the following Wednesday, 9/11, you remember that. We're going to have, how do you study the Bible? Now, the whole night is not going to be dealt with that, but I'm going to be giving you some tips over the next few months on some things that will help you when you read the Bible. In other words, who wrote the book? That's one thing you should look for. Sometimes it's pretty easy. Who wrote Matthew? Matthew. Good. Who was Matthew? Who was he writing to? Who was his audience? What was he trying to tell them? That's important when you read the Bible. And for most of you, if you've got study Bibles, just the introduction to the book will tell you those things. It's right there for you. And so it's important to know. And if when I'm invited to speak at different places, I always want to know, who am I speaking to? Because I'm going to prepare a message different for a church service than I am for a children's ministry. In a different audience, so who you're speaking to. And we'll be talking about some of those things on Wednesday night, starting not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. But the Bible will teach you. The Bible will also show you what you're doing wrong and help you to know what to do right. It'll rebuke and correct are the words that King James. This sounds a little bit softer to the mind. It'll rebuke you and correct you. It'll show you what you're doing wrong. You come to a church service one Sunday and the pastor talks about something or the Sunday school teacher talks about something and you've been dealing with that and you think, oh, you know, the Bible says I should do this and I'm not doing this. It'll rebuke you and correct you. You need to stop that and you need to do this. You see, our world looks at so many things in an unbiblical approach and then wonder why it wasn't working out. I mean, I can remember, maybe a few years ago, the big push in our country, and it still is to some extent right now, but the big push in our country is we have got to legalize marijuana. And all these places are like, you know what the new commercials are? You know, that could cause you some problems. That's the new commercials that are just now coming on. I'm thinking, duh, that I could have wrote that commercial years ago. The Bible's going to say, look, you know, if you get in a fight at work, you're probably going to lose your job or you're going to have a black eye. I mean, I didn't think about that. Well, the Bible will help you with these things. What should I do? Well, Proverbs says that a gentle answer will turn away wrath. There's principles. It'll help you. It'll correct you. In the political world, it's people are saying this. Oh, they used to believe this. Now they believe this. That's flip-flopping. That's a bad thing. Well, in the spiritual world, it's called maturity. I hope I don't think today like I thought 15 years ago. I hope I've learned a little bit that certain things I should do and certain things I shouldn't do. I didn't used to think that way. But as I gave myself to the Word of God, it corrected me. It showed me what path was wrong and helped me understand what path was right. And then it will train you in righteousness. Let me read these verses from Proverbs. There is a way that appears to be right, but the end leads to death. You understand that if you're a Christian. There is a way, you know, you thought this was the best approach. And then you got saved and you realized that that's not how you should act or live. It should be this way and you changed. There's a way that seems right, but the end is death. And the Bible will help in correcting that. Training in righteousness. They made God's law their own so they will never slip from His path. Training. I mentioned the job at Pony Express and helping somebody with learning the job. And the Bible will not only teach us what is right and wrong, but we have to develop that and we have to be trained in that. And that's what we want to do. And how do you read the Bible? And how do you study the Bible? And how does the Bible make sense? And how will it help me in my daily life? We're going to be talking about that. D.L. Moody said this, "The Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation." It's what Avery sang about a while ago. And as she was singing that, I thought about a statement I heard. Don't just read the Bible to read the Bible. Read the Bible to know its author. Not just information, but transformation of our life. So let me give you some tips as I encourage you to read the Bible this week. First of all, when you sit down with your Bible, and sometimes that's the hardest part, just getting started. You know, just, I know I should, but I'm just so busy and it's not a priority. You know, most of us do what we want to do. So it's not an issue if we don't have enough time. Well, that's different, Pastor. You got 40 hours a day. I only got 24. No, I just have 24 too. We've got the same amount of time. It's how we divide the pie up, okay? I mean, if I want to do something, I'll plan it. I'll put it on my schedule, and many times I'm able to do it because I plan for it. You know, plan your work and then work your plan. But when you sit down, one of the first things you should do, I want to encourage you to do, is we talk about why you should read the Bible and how you should read the Bible. One of the first things you should do is pray. Lord, this is a new adventure for me. I read the Bible some, but I don't read it anywhere like I should. And sometimes I don't understand it. And I understand what the pastor was talking about. So you're going to have to help me understand it. Listen to what Psalm 119:18 says. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, you're not going to understand everything you read. But let me introduce you to a tool that all of you can have access to that will help you. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a Christian, you've got that tool. You've got the Spirit of God living within you. And one thing the Holy Spirit of God will do, He will help you understand the Bible. I watch Andy Griffith on a fairly regular. I was in Orlando. You know, they don't play that in Orlando. I don't know whether the people there are as redneck as us. Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't know that there's an episode of Andy Griffith that I hadn't seen through the years. I don't know why I enjoy watching the same episode over and over again. I know what they're going to say. I still enjoy it. I don't get anything new out of it. Sometimes just to pass the time while I'm working on something. But you know, it's not that way with the Bible. As I've read the Bible through the years, many times I see something in a passage or a verse that I never saw before. It's just new to me. Not that it wasn't there before. Maybe my life experience or my situation wasn't the same and it meant more to me or I understood it better. So pray. Lord, as I read today, I'm going to read these chapters today and help me to see some things in there that will help me in my life. So pray. Take some time to pray and ask the Lord to help you. And then set a plan. Now on the back table, and I was going to have these ready for today, but I knew there was a lot of people out today because of Labor Day weekend and a number of people away. But there's a couple things on the back table just to sort of introduce you to this. Here's a reading plan. You don't have to have this. I mean, it's pretty easy to go by. I have those to pick up. But between now and the end of the year, you can read through the New Testament by reading how many chapters a day? It's about two. About two chapters a day. I'll get you through the whole New Testament. 260 chapters in the New Testament. And so 2.1 or 2.2 chapters a day will get you through it. And so this week, and I'm going to say this again next week, if you'll just read through Matthew 1 through 15. Well, that would only be 14 chapters. You said 15. Okay, sometimes it's a little bit different, okay? Caught up. Sometimes you read 14, sometimes you read 15, sometimes you read 16, one week 10. But here's a sort of a reading schedule for you. And let me encourage you to read these chapters each week, and I would encourage you to read them each day. Two chapters a day. Every day for the next 4 months. And you'll get through the whole New Testament. Now don't just read them to get through them. Check it off, I did it. Read it to understand what is there and how it can apply to your life. Now you might miss a day. We'll catch up, okay? I would say read it 7 days a week, but at least as you're starting, try to make at least 5 different days to read these 15 chapters. Now I'm going to have some sheets available next week for you. Some of you may remember we did this years ago called New Testament Journeys. And this is just, I mean, you don't have to have one of these papers, but this just, it'll have the reading for that day, day one, Matthew 1 through 2 on it, a place where you can put the passage. You read Matthew chapter 1 and you get through all these genealogies and you think, I don't mean anything to me. Then you get down to maybe verse 18 or 19, you think, oh, that's neat. And you like read chapter 1, verse 18. And what your thoughts were about it. I think sometimes, and teachers can probably back me up on this, I think sometimes reading and then writing something down helps us to remember it better than just reading it. Just physically writing something down. And so we'll have these available for you if you want it. And on the back of these pages, it says, what was the main thought that challenged me in my reading today? I didn't get that answer. Okay, it's not like a test. It's what meant something to you. Well, you know that verse that said, pray without ceasing. That meant something to me. Because, man, I'm going through some issues right now. I need to pray about them more. But somebody else may not have that same thought. What meant to me was, love thy neighbor, you know, or whatever. So, not just reading the Bible to get through it, but then thinking about it. I would encourage you to probably, you know, at least set aside a half hour. I think that'd be a good place to start. 20 minutes to a half hour to read those two chapters and think about it. You might have to read them a couple times. And then, what was the main thought that challenged me? What application to my life? I mean, don't read it just for information, but for transformation. Okay, this is what I read. Is there anything today that I should do because I read this? Be nicer to my wife. Okay, that's a good start. That'll help you. And were there any noticeable action, any noticeable outcomes to my action? Now, that might not be that same day. You know, I seem to be happier as a husband. Yeah, that'll happen to you. And then we'll talk probably next week about not only should you pray before you read it, and not only formulate a plan, which my plan for you would be 14 chapters a week. At least 5 different days, if not 7, and try to set aside at least a half hour. For some of you, you say, well, that's what I'm doing already. That's great. It'll just hopefully encourage you to continue to do that. For some of you, you say, you know, I get up early every morning. That's why you're at the early service, right? I get up early and drink my coffee, and I think in the mornings will work for me. I think I'm going to read my half hour in the morning before I go to work or before I start working around the house or whatever. That won't work for me. I can't see the first half hour that I'm up. Like, what's going on in this life, you know? So mine's going to have to be a little bit later in the morning or in the evening or when you get home. Whatever works for you. It may not be the same every day. It may be the same every day. But make your plan, work your plan. And then I think the last thing let me mention to you is Proverbs said, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sort of sharpens another. In other words, it's good to have a partner. It's good to have an accountability partner, somebody that will help you. And we'll talk about that. Some of you may want that. Some of you may not. There's a guy in a church now that he's my accountability partner, not about reading the Bible, but about something else. So I said, yeah, each week you check and see how I'm doing, if I'm staying on my goal, what I want to do. And that helps. He's not in this service, but I got to prepare for the next service because he's going to come and ask me that question. I'm ready for him today. I was hoping he wouldn't ask me last week. But we need that, just somebody to just sort of help us along. You know, sometimes you're going to be down and to be encouragement. Sometimes they're going to be down. Sometimes your readings are going to be good and theirs are not, and so forth. But read the Bible. Now, what we're going to do, and I'll close with this. What I'm going to do over the next 4 months is I'm going to bring messages out of the reading for that week. Now, I'm not going to preach Matthew 1 through 15 next week, but somewhere in that reading of Matthew 1 through 15, I'm going to pick out something that really meant something to me and talk about it. And I'm going to do it on Wednesday night as well, the same passage. So I've got 2 messages to bring out of Matthew 1 through 15. And you may, especially on Wednesday night, you might say, well, you know, when I was reading Mark chapter 4 this week for my reading, whatever that week that might be, I saw this. What does that mean? And then I'll give you the answer to it. You know, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that before, but I'll look it up for you. I'll get back with you or, you know, whatever. So it'll give you a chance to interact. So I don't, you know, I don't come on Wednesday night. I get home at 5:45, and by the time I eat and relax a little bit, I'm late for church. We got meals for you on Wednesday. You can come here and eat. We're helping you. Yeah, but you got to pay for it. Yeah, like $2.50. Come on, you can't get a biscuit at McDonald's for that. Read your Bible. I'm going to encourage you to start this week. The good thing is, if you don't start this week, I'm going to encourage you to start next week. So you got like a free week here, okay? But Matthew chapter 1 through 15. Father, may your word be a light to our path. May we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. I pray that as a church, we will read the Bible more. Not just read it, but know it and live it for our good and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the back table, don't pick them up and take them. But this page is back there about the reading schedule. And if you want to look at that page that we'll have available. And if you want these, we'll print them off for you, give them to you next week. And we may not have all 4 months done, but we'll have 2 or 3 weeks for you so you can pick up that paper. What we did before is I encouraged people to get notebooks, and we did 3 whole punches in them. They just kept them in their notebooks, and I still got mine from a couple years ago, and I'm going to be looking at some. All right, good day.